Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The following is a presentation of the Belly Up Sports Media Network.
This is Haymaker Combat Sports. Here we here, coming straight from the source. Only with the real, they ain't here to dress it up. Sweet science, MMA, you can get it all from us. Trust, five stars, cause it's live. And through the fight game, we can guide ya. Slick talking, putting them in caution. Passing all the guards, cause the audio is awesome. What you waiting for? Spread the word, tell a friend. This the podcast where all of the discussion ends. When they start going strike for strike, this the show that'll tell you what you've seen in the fight. They ain't playing on the mic, this a welcome to the show. Warm it up for the squad, Haymaker of the bros. I'm a bow wow, you can hear from the pros. It's Haymaker Combat Sports on the road.
Welcome back to Haymaker Combat Sports, powered by the Belly Up Sports Media Network. I am your host, EJ Reed, joined by my fellow hosts, Aaron Admire, Steve Johnson. How's it going tonight, fellas?
Good, good. Happy Tuesday.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Happy Tuesday. How about this weather heating up, man? It's almost like it's spring already. It's only March.
Yeah, I got a feeling this Missouri weather is going to take a turn on us one more time. It usually does. They tease us with these 60, 70 degree days. I don't know. I haven't checked the long range forecast, but it was pretty decent here today. Looks like 10 day 50s and 60s. I don't know. We might make it out. I know. What was it? Sunday. It was really nice here. Almost 80. Freaking mosquitoes are out already, man.
Ooh, I didn't really see any mosquitoes around here. I don't know about you, Steve. You see any mosquitoes?
I've seen one. I had one fly sneak in my house. So they trying to come back alive these warm days.
That's one thing I hadn't really felt like I dealt with since moving to Missouri. Like a lot of mosquitoes, like South Carolina, forget about it. Mosquitoes everywhere.
Man, you must not hang out outside, man. Missouri's horrible with that shit, especially with the river running through Missouri.
Go ahead, Steve.
Last year was pretty bad with mosquitoes, my opinion.
Yeah, it was really bad last year because it didn't really freeze. I thought, you know, we had them cold days this year where it was just like negative 10 for a week straight. I thought all the bugs would have like really died off. But, I mean, early signs here, they're alive and well.
Maybe I'm indoors more than I think I am because I didn't really have to like put a lot of mosquito and off on, but. Now that I mentioned it, watch all the mosquitoes come at me now. But it's almost about time for you to hit up that lake house, right, Admar?
Yep, I'll be going to the lake house here pretty soon, you know, living the lake life for the summer.
That's what's up. Probably won't go floating on my end probably till like May. It's too cold. The water's still too cold for that.
Yeah, I usually don't get in the water till about June.
Yeah, so, you know. Usually Memorial weekend at the time where the water is just right to get in from Memorial to Labor Day, but still got a little ways before that happens. But like we always do at this time, let's talk about stories either inside or outside of the cage. And what came across my radar, I don't know, this guy keeps making his way in my feed, and I don't know about y'all's feed, but he always does, and I'm kind of tired of talking about this guy, but I got to talk about this story. Y'all probably saw this. McGregor wants to fight Michael Chandler in June, and then he wants that Nate Diaz trilogy in the spare in September. Did y'all see that?
I didn't see it. I mean, that's news to me, but I believe it when it happens, man, once the contract signed. I mean, we've been waiting on this fight for how many months now? You know, I don't know. I don't know if it'll happen.
Steve, you see the story?
I didn't. But as far as thinking it's going to happen, I would have to at least see the promotion. And then on top of that, I have to actually see the referee say fight. I say it's a good chance because I think if he cares or not, I think Connor knows that he's leaving plans on the cliffhanger. Mm-hmm. So whatever he announces, I think is going to be big. So I can say there's a good chance, but then say there's a good chance that his options, and you really can say I don't have to do it.
So looks like his story came out today because I'm looking at MMA Fighting. This is where I'm getting it from. He went on his IG stories and somebody asked him when's his next fight going to be. And he said he's still holding hope for June 29th when he was answering questions on his IG stories. And he also said the game is a bit lackluster also at present, which isn't helping. I don't know what that means. What do you think you mean by that, Amar?
I mean, he's just talking shit. I mean, I think MMA is, you know, still going up. You know, it's not even reached its peak yet. And I think all the fighters that are in the game now could pretty much just wash him. You know, there's too many guys. You know, we've talked about like Topuria and a lot of these fighters, you know, even though they're not in the same weight class, but like those style fighters that can mix in the ground and the stand up now, like they're even more evolved than just a couple years ago when Connor last fought. So for him to say that, nah.
Well, what do you think that means, Steve? The game is lackluster.
I don't know. Well, to us, I think definitely not skill-wise. I think he's not naive of that. Maybe it's somebody with skill and a little bit of pull as far as pay-per-view numbers or a big fight. Maybe that's what he's looking at. And Michael Chandler's achieved a lot of stuff, but you know, maybe he's looking for something bigger as the it factor, like Nate Diaz had. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so right after he said that, let me add to that. He said, I hope these next few cards pop and I get a date, eliminate distractions, and begin real work towards it. So maybe he is saying, like what you just said, Steve. Maybe he's waiting for a big name, but he just said he wanted to fight Chandler. So maybe he's, I guess, thinking of Buzz. He said he wants the next few cards to pop. Maybe he wants the Buzz. I don't know. I think that's what he means.
Probably so.
Yeah, I bet he's talking about like Gaethje, you know, something like that. You know, that's a big one that's coming up that, you know, Gaethje could, you know, suit up with him well after the Chandler fight. That's a big money fight. I mean, I've always wanted to see Gaethje and McGregor, and I think a lot of people have.
I think that's a good observation because Gaethje is a good pull, but since, you know, Max Holloway isn't stuck down in featherweight, that can be another story because Max Holloway and Connor have a little history themselves as far as the early featherweight upcoming. So I now we're talking about it, it makes more sense. That's probably why he's waiting for things to pan out.
Yeah, I think both of y'all make good points about that. I mean, but at the end of the day, it is McGregor, so who knows what's going on in that Irish head of his. Also on that Q&A or his IG questions or whatever he was answering, somebody asked him, Connor, want to see you and Diaz trilogy make it happen. And that's when he says, I wish this on Mexican Independence Day in the Sphere, and then Chandler in June, Diaz September. I've let this be known. I mean, I think we see Connor that active. You know, hold up. You're not interested.
I'm not interested in the Diaz trilogy. I mean, Diaz has lost three of his last five fights. He lost a boxing match to a fucking YouTuber. I don't think Diaz is really in it anymore. That's not, I mean, of course I'm going to watch, but it's not, the fight I want to see. It's going to sell tons of pay-per-views. But for me, as a fight fan, I've seen him fight twice. I'm fine.
I feel like I'd rather see that fight than the Chandler fight. I think Chandler probably runs through him. I feel like that would be more competitive just because they're 1-1. They've both been losing. And they still both probably got two of the biggest names in MMA. I get why somebody might not want to see it, but I think Chandler is going to run through McGregor. I don't know. What's your interest on that, Steve?
I think for MMA fans, it's like, what? Because if you're going to make a fight and pull your hand in the fantasy bag, you know, why Nate Diaz when he possibly can be a more of a interesting fight? But I think people would still make an uproar if they saw that announcement, if that's so. And to bring at 300, it's like, since it's historic, it's almost like they can bring history to it. Who knows? They might bring it at UFC 300. You know, who? I guess his options are open. You know, Nate Diaz, Trilogy, big UFC 300. But then again, Conor and his, what do you call that? Being top of the card. You know, what is he going to accept? I don't think. And his personality, I don't think we're going to see him accept anything under his main event.
You don't think if he stays in the game, he might not have a choice but the not main event if he keeps losing?
It looks like that, but Conor bent rules before.
Yeah.
Yeah. There. I don't think there's any way the UFC makes a card with him not the headliner. Like, they have to. So it's going to be a card with no title fights. But, you know, they could even do, you know, a average lackluster card with them leading it, and it's still going to sell big, you know, because he's such a big draw, especially if you do the Diaz fight. But, yes. I mean, it's just
every fighter who's been at the top of the game, who stayed in too long, has had the not main event. Everybody except a GSP, because when he came back, he still main evented, and we hadn't seen John Jones dip yet, but Chuck Liddell did it. Even Brock Lesnar, he didn't headline 200. So yeah, I don't think it'd be a point where McGregor's just the losses just add up too much for him to main event.
Maybe, but I think he's done things since he had that uproar about, even did it in his post fight. Talking about his shares and what I think he did something in his contract to where he doesn't get anything under main event. Just by default, it wouldn't be right somebody pulling draws or make sense somebody pulling money off of somebody's the undercard in the main eventers. Probably what's a pay-per-view that happened lately that nobody was for real interested in? Conor's pulling most money. So I think, I don't know, legally or whatever, but I say he's pulling enough money to probably make that pool to never be under main event for sure.
It'd be interesting to see, you know, how that unfolds the next 5 years if he decides to still be in the game. I think he's a prideful dude, but also, I think he has enough money where he doesn't want to look foolish by staying in too long. He's prideful in the fact that he thinks he could still fight at a high level. That's what I meant. But he's also prideful in the sense that if he keeps taking L's, he'll be like, the hell with it, I'm rich. So why keep getting it? I kind of think he's almost at the point of it now, even though he's talking like this on IG. But we've all seen him, you know, talk a big game and not follow up through it in the past few years. So guess we'll have to see how it shakes out, but I don't know. That's a quick turnaround. June to September, he hasn't fought in 3 years. I don't know if he would be able to do it.
And I mean, I think Chandler's gonna run through him. And I mean, I don't know if he's gonna be able to, you know, escape that injury free to be able to fight in September. But I mean, if he loses to Chandler, that's what, that makes four losses of his last five fights.
Yeah, Habib. The only one he got it was against the Cowboys surrounding.
Yeah, lost to Poirier twice and Khabib. So, I mean, if he gets another loss, I mean, that's three in a row. He really shouldn't have the pull that he does. I mean, I get that he's a moneymaker, but eventually fans are just going to be like, why are we still putting this dude at the top of the card when he hasn't beat anybody? You know, he hasn't won a fight since 2020.
Yeah, that was right before the pandemic. I remember that. He hasn't won a fight since the pandemic happened. That's ridiculous. But I don't know, man. I guess we have to see how it shakes out. I mean, like you said, the fans probably would lose interest in it. But at right this point, he still has pull. So it's all about supply and demand. If people keep paying for his fights, then UFC is going to keep putting him in that main event position. Like Steve said, he might have something in his contract saying that he has the main event, which would be wild. That'd be the first of its kind, probably. But he's always going to try to keep his name in the headlines. But Steve, what you got for us as far as stories go?
Not too much goes over my brain. I do know one, but I'll let Admire say that one.
The JDS story?
Yeah.
All right, Admire. What's going on with JDS?
He just won. He did a bare knuckle fight for Game Bread Promotions against Alan Belcher, who was in the UFC like 06 to 2013. Mm-hmm. Alan Belcher was actually a really good fighter back in the day. He's got a lot of big wins. But he just lost to Junior Dos Santos. Junior Dos Santos is the new heavyweight champ of bare knuckle. I didn't know that we would ever see him fight again. And it's kind of weird. You know, if somebody goes off and does a boxing match, they have a boxing record. They're putting these bare knuckle fights under MMA records. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, I've seen it like just under its own thing, like a bare knuckle record. Maybe
I thought I've seen that before too, but as I pulled it up, just kind of researching it, they put these Game Bread bare knuckle fights under MMA.
That's weird. Maybe that's just a Game Bread thing, because I've seen it where BKFC is just like its own little section on Wikipedia, but we all know how accurate Wikipedia is.
Right.
Yeah. That's interesting though. I didn't know he fought this past weekend, and I didn't know Jorge Masvidal still had a promotion that was still going on. Did you see highlights from it?
Yeah, I mean, they were bloody as hell. They beat the shit out of each other. Went two rounds, two and a half rounds.
Oh, that's it? He stopped them?
Yeah, I got him with a KO.
Oh, was it clean?
Yeah, I mean, it was really good. Just you can pull it up on TikTok sometime. It's on there. That's how I found it. I had no idea it was happening. I was scrolling TikTok and I was like, oh, Junior Dos Santos.
That's crazy because I remember Alan Belcher, one of his significant fights is the Akiyama or Akira fight. I forgot his last name.
And, oh, Yoshihiro Akiyama. Yeah. Yeah.
And what was that? He was welterweight, wasn't he? That was a welterweight.
It was welterweight or at middleweight.
That's crazy. He's all the way heavyweight now. I mean, it's not crazy, but it's a leap from what it used to be.
That was back at UFC 100.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. It was at middleweight or what? Yes, middleweight. It was at middleweight. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Still.
Middle to heavy.
Yeah, we've seen that from time to time. Rumble Johnson was a welterweight and dabbled in heavyweight later in his career. And there's another guy in UFC. I cannot think of his name off the top of my head. I want to say he used to be a middleweight, but now he's a heavyweight. And like it's like a drastic difference if you look at his body type. What's that?
Jared Cannonier, he's one of them.
He's still at middleweight, isn't he?
Well, he went from heavyweight down to middleweight.
I'm talking about the reverse. It was a white guy. I can't remember his name.
I think Michael Bisping came in until the Ultimate Fighter as a heavyweight.
Yeah, he was undersized. Middleweight was right division. Same with Rashad Evans.
Rashad Evans as well. Yeah,
did the heavyweight season, but man, I can't think of the name of this guy. He was a middleweight, and then he's a heavyweight now. But like you can see, like they like showed his body in comparison. I mean, he just looks like he's out of shape now. But if his name pops up, I'll bring him on his name back up on a later show. But yeah, it's crazy that JDS is still in bare knuckle fighting, throwing no things. I don't know what is his goal at this point to stay in fighting. I wonder if he's broke because Game Bread. I can see if he was in BKFC, but I don't know how much money Game Bread has.
Yeah, I don't know how much. I could probably look it up and see if it has any of the payouts. I mean, Junior Dos Santos. I mean, he was heavyweight champ for a little bit. Had his back and forth with Cain Velasquez. He ended up leaving the UFC on a 4-fight losing streak. And then he jumped over to a thing called Eagle FC, smaller promotion. And then he's been in Game Bread for a couple fights. He beat Fabricio Werdum in his first bare knuckle.
I didn't even know that they were fighting. And that guy's name popped up in my head out of nowhere. Jake Collier. I don't know if y'all remember him. Mm. He used to be a middleweight, and like they were showing like his pictures side to side by each other, and it was like, it just looked like you just stop wanting to actually cut weight and it's you in your hair natural form. Mm-hmm. But back to the JDS, you said he fought, who'd he fight, Amir, right before this?
Fabricio Werdum was his last bare knuckle fight back in September.
Yeah, I didn't know. Was that in Game Bread as well?
Yeah. Or no. It wasn't Game Bread.
Yeah. I don't know where Jorge Masvidal is getting the money to pay these fighters.
I imagine they're decent little events. It looks like, from what I can tell, the events are around Florida. You know, that's where Masvidal's from. You know, it looks like they did one in Jacksonville, one in Orlando. So MMA is big. I mean, you could, make a little money on it.
I was looking at Verdun's page too, and like you said, they got this bare knuckle fight underneath the MMA section, which is weird. Yeah, I don't know. Well, hopefully he's making a little money as far as JDS goes. I mean, that's a lot of wearing on your body. He's up there in age.
Yeah, and I mean, when he's in the UFC, I mean, I think he was making $300,000 to $500,000 a fight,
Definitely. It's been a minute since he's been in UFC, right? He fought Khabib.
Last UFC fight, 2020.
I was thinking it was even before the pandemic. He got released right in the middle of the pandemic. That's crazy. But shout out to JDS. He keeps trucking right along, but
Other news, I got the pop-up as we were opening the show. Merab Dvalishvili is weighing in as a backup for this weekend's main event, so he will be on standby in case anything happens to one of our fighters.
I mean, anything can happen, but I think these guys are good to go as far as O'Malley and Chito Vera.
I just like that the UFC's taking that step so we don't have another spoiled event, where somebody has to come in last minute that hasn't trained and all that, At least they got somebody that's prepared.
They tend to do that for the main events as far as pay-per-view goes. I know what we were arguing is that they should probably do it for, like, the entire main card. All the times that things have got scrapped and changed around as far as, like, other fights on the main card, so... Like they probably don't want to spend the money on having to pay fighters to get ready, but it would still save cards. So, yeah, shout out to Merab for staying ready. He probably just stayed in camp. He just fought, 2 weeks ago or so, 2-3 weeks ago on that on the last pay per view. So, already in shape. Why not? It'd be interesting if he got had to actually fight. Somebody got hurt. And every incident it was Barrett that got hurt, because I'm thinking they're trying to keep Merab from O'Malley as long as they can.
Yeah, yeah, I think we've said that before. They're trying to keep him away, but it's inevitable. It'll happen one of these days.
Indeed, will. But also in the news, something going on with Sean Strickland, Amir?
He's always in the news. He's been arguing online with Ryan Garcia.
What are they arguing about?
Just the same old shit. Sean Strickland doesn't like influencers, when he himself is kind of in the influencer world now, as much as he's all over social media and doing shit. I don't know, man. Sean Strickland's in the news every week for something. And then Sean Strickland, he's getting into it with Jake Paul as well. Jake Paul fought this weekend, fought a guy that allegedly was a Golden Glove boxer back in the day, but he just like beat the shit out of this dude. The dude looked like he was probably a janitor or something. And Jake Paul's also trying to fight Ryan Garcia. So Jake Paul, Ryan Garcia, Sean Strickland having a three-way arguing match. And speaking of Jake Paul, that's some more news. He's trying to get his first MMA fight against Tony Ferguson.
That's a nice little layup. I think Tony Ferguson is washed. What is that supposed to try to happen in the PFL?
Yeah, he wants it to happen in the PFL because that's where he's supposedly signed. I think there's probably a big weight difference between the two. Paul fights at cruiserweight. I don't know my boxing,
which is
right, 200 pounds, I believe.
Which is which is the equivalent of like basically light heavyweight.
Yeah, so I doubt that ever happens. Of course, he's going for the MMA guy that's like, I don't even know what Tony Ferguson's losing streak is at this point, but that he's aiming really low.
Yeah. Tony Ferguson, he fights in the equivalent of a super welterweight. That's the 154 division in boxing, 155. But he didn't Tony Ferguson go up to welterweight his past couple fights, though?
Yeah, what was Tony Ferguson's last one?
I want to say 170. That's like close to light heavyweight in boxing. And I think Jake Paul did fight light heavyweight in maybe his first boxing match. So maybe they could fight at light heavyweight, but that's still a pretty big weight cut from cruiserweight.
Yeah, Tony Ferguson, he went up to welterweight for his last three. Nate Diaz, Bobby Green, and Paddy Pimblett. And he's on a 7-fight losing streak.
Hey, I mean, I would still be impressed if Jake Paul took on Tony Ferguson even in MMA. So it's not like he's boxing him.
And if I had to lay money on that fight, I would definitely go with Tony Ferguson just because of the ground game. I hear Jake Paul has a strong wrestling background. I don't know how good he really was or is, but, I mean, he might be able to scramble a little bit. But a guy that's – like, Tony Ferguson used to be a wizard on the ground, man.
Yeah. Yeah, they said Jake did some wrestling back in high school, but Logan was the – actual accomplished wrestler. I think he like won state or went to state or something like that.
He did some college, I think.
Well, it'll be interesting if it happens. But going back to Sean Strickland, did you get any lines or quotes or anything that him and Garcia were going back and forth about? Or did just
let me pull it up here.
You don't have to give like the exact quote if you don't have it in front of you, but like the gist of what they're arguing about. I know you say he ain't influencers, but Garcia's actually
just calling him an influencer, called him a pussy, just arguing back and forth. You know, Ryan Garcia, he's used to shit talking online. Strickland shit talks all kinds of stuff. It looks like there was another headline. Sean Strickland said more shit about Bud Light. Like, dude's constantly in the headlines. I mean, it was kind of funny at first, but like I'm bored with Sean Strickland's whole shtick.
I don't know. If he's an influencer, I'm talking about Garcia, then what is Sean Strickland? Because, I mean, Garcia is an actual accomplished boxer, and Strickland is an accomplished MMA guy. But, I mean, if he's calling him an influencer, and like you said, what is he then?
Yeah, and I mean, Strickland's new thing is just telling anybody that he'll fight him anywhere if he sees him and shit like that. We can go outside, you know, we can meet at the one of the slap shows and go outside and fight. Like, it's going to be pretty soon he's going to be a liability to the company. I mean, he says some crazy shit, but if he starts really fighting more people outside of, you know, the cage, just like Strickland beat up that fucking Sneeko influencer guy a few weeks ago, like, why? Like,
I don't know. It's a lot of questions about why for Sean Strickland. I don't know, Steve, what do you think about this whole hoopla?
Yeah, I think it's crazy. I think he invited him to a sparring match. We all know these things don't happen for real. Most likely. For me, when I see Strickland, it's cool if you had the champion spot and had the platform, but if I would have lost it, I would have been silent. I would be more silent than I was and pipe down off the, you know, when you're talking championship and try to get that championship back before I start talking again, or else, like I said, and he does have that promotion of his persona is internet talking and all that, but you become a contradiction when you're jumping from celebrity or like we talked about last week, was it Machine Gun Kelly? He got into it with also like yeah. Celebrities now.
Yeah.
Called him a vampire. yeah, man, it's like you said, he's proven to where he doesn't have a control over his emotions sometimes, so he might end up be a liability one day, like Admire said.
Well, a liability in what aspect? I'll start with you, Steven, and I'll let you answer that again, Admire.
Proven things that don't really need to be proven. Like, what if he concussed Sneeko and he didn't wake up, or, you know, knocked him vegetative? Because, you know what? I would say he's pulling back, but Sean Strickland don't be throwing no, you know, something that looks devastating, right? But I think if he had the power, you know, what if you hurt him really bad? And, you know, part of being a martial artist is doing things you know you can do, and he didn't have to do them like that. And although I don't know about Sneeko, it seems the appearance of what I do know of him, I wouldn't look at him. So I understand probably where he's coming from, why he did it, but he didn't have to do it. And it's caused, like you said, a liability more than you're trying to promote yourself doing that.
Admire, how do you think he's a liability?
I think he's a liability as far as the publicity part of it. Like, of course, like Steve said, like I always use this example when I'm talking to like my friends about fighting, like street fighting. I know a guy that got in a bar fight and hit somebody and killed him, made the dude's brain bleed and killed him. So you have that liability, you know, personal liability on it. But also look at what the UFC's done, where they were only legal in a couple places in the beginning, and they've built it up to every state and made MMA a legit sport. And, you know, they just got, you know, New York 10 years ago. Was it even probably not even 10 years ago? Yeah. And then if you have this guy going outside of the ring doing that, it kind of proves what the states didn't want to legalize it for in the beginning. You know, it was a brutal sport. It was human cockfighting, blah, blah, blah. And Dana White sold it as, no, these are athletes. They train. They're disciplined. And Sean Strickland is like the opposite of that. So you can't have one guy go out and ruin this. What if he does go out and has a parking lot fight and kill somebody? All the headlines are going to be UFC fighter kills somebody in a bar fight or whatever. So it you know, it reverses that imagery. One person can fuck it up for everybody.
And I'm gonna add something. I think I saw a clip on YouTube to where he was driving, and you know, personality like him, I'm assuming that going back and forth with road raging, cut hoo-hoo off, and dude pulled a gun on him. And then, yeah, you can look it up. He pulled a gun on him while Sean Strickland was on whatever platform, social media. And then, and it's funny that you would figure you would back off, break or pull off. He was still like calling him a pussy and like, man, you don't have to do that. To where, you know, there's a time to where, you know what? It's like you got to know when to shut up, and you're still trying to get your ego off. What if the dude shot you? You're trying to still be cool in front of who you're recording in front of. And it's those situations like that. And, I think that's a crazy situation he puts himself in all the time. We just don't see all of him, I think.
Yeah, what about, yeah, so to Steve's point, am I, what about the reverse of what you just said? What if, like, somebody seriously hurts Strickland? What kind of publicity you think that would bring?
I mean, you get the same headline, but the opposite. You know, UFC fighter gets fucking owned outside of the cage, you know, and I mean, I don't know that. I don't think it really hurts anything credibility wise. I mean, anybody can land a lucky punch, I guess. But
you what know, about even worse? Like, what if like somebody gets some weapons on him? And
I was about to say, people with his personality. Not saying he's Sean Strickland is a beast, right? But people with those personalities, like I say, you going to jail, or what this other saying is. You think you're Billy Badass, you're going to meet Billy Badass. And you're trying to prove somebody's going to pull out a knife or shoot you. You know what I'm saying? I keep people with his personality, that stuff happens to people like that, like him. So he better chill out and realize he's got to his feet in to taste of money and try to get to that to be his goal.
Yeah. That'd be terrible. Somebody just, and you know, people are equipped with the trigger nowadays, like it almost be justified, because if you're a professional fighter, your hands are considered lethal weapons.
No, they disproved that. They said that that's some shit Bruce Lee made up so he didn't have to fight people.
Oh, well,
but I bet they would take that in consideration if he assaulted somebody and he was in front of the judge, and the prosecutor is going to say he's a trained professional fighter and use that against him. But yeah, it's not a registered lethal weapons on your hands thing. But I mean, it is. I mean, you see stuff in the news every day about, you know, somebody pulls a gun for a lot of times a reason that shouldn't have been. But if you got a hothead like Strickland coming at you, you're justified. I mean, all you have to say is, I feared for my life. And it's justified.
All right, dust off my lower cap. I know when self-defense, the return of force has to be proportionate to the force that you're receiving, the force you return. So if you're a fighter, you could easily kill somebody with your hands or your fighter. And if a judge would, if somebody returned in with gunfire, the force they had to use to protect their lives. So,
yeah.
Yep.
I just hope he calms down. How much of it do you think is for show, though? He talks that, but I feel like if the cameras are off, then he might be somewhat of a sane person. Somewhat, I said, not completely.
I don't know, man. I don't know if it's all for show. I mean, the DDP fight in the crowd kind of showed it. I mean, he was like, you want to do it? And fucking jumped the chair and started swinging elbows.
But the
like,
cameras were on.
But the camera, well, he did. The cameras weren't. All of it was, you know, cell phone footage.
No, I think I want to say UFC got a lot of that, like official footage. They turned the camera away, but I think they were still rolling. I mean, they cut to a different camera, but the camera was still on them, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, there is video of him that somebody was like trying to break into his car or truck or whatever, and he went out there and pulled a gun on him.
Yeah. That was stupid of somebody trying to break in his stuff. Mm. That criminal thought he was probably sneaking in somebody's car, a little old lady, and out comes a UFC fighter with a strap.
That reminds me of, if y'all ever seen it, the John Jones footage. He ran out, ran after somebody.
They had, some reason I thought that was a dream that I saw that footage. There was actual footage of that?
Yeah, yeah. He ran after
Yeah, it's weird. A lot of fighters' cars get in homes get tampered with, like Showtime Pettis. Yeah, somebody like burned his car in his driveway.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, somebody broke in Anthony Smith's house. There's a lot of break-ins. That's the stupidest place to break in. A gun, or if you didn't can't get to his gun, you're definitely getting your ass beat.
Right.
Yeah, it's just not a good idea to commit crimes, but you must have the worst luck committing a crime to somebody who could destroy you in several different ways like that. But, hey, I don't feel sorry for those assholes.
Nah.
But fellas, let's get into this card that's happening this weekend. UFC 299 coming live from Miami, Florida. And before, like, post-pandemic, I don't remember them going to Miami a lot. So this is, like, something new, right? I don't know. Y'all might have better memories than I do.
Let me look that up and see if there's been other events.
They recently went to Miami, I want to say last year or 2022. But before that, like, that's a part of the country. They skip Florida in general. Because I think, you know, Florida was wide open because of the pandemic. And I think since that, you know, like UFC kind of wants to show them love, you know, for being one of the only states that was open during that time. And now they've been hitting up Florida a lot in general because it didn't come to my neck of the woods when I was living in Jacksonville. I'll tell you that.
So they had UFC 242 in Miami. Or no, UFC 42. Headlined by Matt Hughes and Sean Sherk, and they did not return until 20 years later for UFC 287.
See, that's interesting that all of a sudden they're going to Florida a lot. I don't know if it's a political thing. I'm just trying to make a political statement, but, you know, I wouldn't be opposed to going to Miami. That's a party city. So they are back in Miami, and I was chatting with Amir before we started recording, and I forgot it was a car this weekend. It kind of snuck up on me. I don't know about y'all.
I thought
it was next weekend.
I'll tell you what happened to me. I automatically have a clock for these Saturday fights, right? So I got down to settle down around like, and I know sometimes the fight nights come on earlier, so I get settled down around 5, 6 maybe, and I turn on the stream and said, thank you for watching the event. Sometimes that happened before, and that confused me. I'm like, it must have came on earlier, and that's probably a lot why I missed it, because it was over by the time it was around that time I was talking about. I didn't know it was an early card.
Yeah. It's going to be a good card. It, you know, they started with 298, now 299 and 300. So they're in the middle of having these strings. And like you and Adam are just saying, it kind of snuck up on us. But that kind of have that clock in your head where you're like, oh, it should be a card coming out soon. But let's go over these early prelims. At flyweight, we have CJ Vergara versus Asu Almabayev. And then at heavyweight, we got Robelis Despeng versus Josh Parisian. And we have Steve's boy, Michelle Pierre at middleweight versus Michal Olishayshuk. And then finish off the early prelims, we at light heavyweight, we have Ian Kudalaba versus Philippe Lenz. Any of these fights pique your interest?
Oh, yeah. Michelle, for real, man. like, I love watching highlights of that dude. Like, he's the most insane fighter ever. Like, he always puts on a crazy show. I mean, and it, I pulled it up the other day, and he's got a really decent record. I think he's got on a few fight win streak. His highlight reels are just insane, doing flips in the cage, jumping off the cage, just the most unorthodox shit you will ever see.
His shot selection reminds me of, besides the flips, his shot selection reminds me of Michael Venom Page. How he bounces back and forth, that karate stance, and then try to go in with the right straight. And I think he got a few knockouts like that, Piera. And jumping knees out of nowhere. Or Johnny Walker also reminds me of two.
Yeah, then he's on a 6-fight win streak.
Didn't he try to do like a moonsault, and like a wrestling moonsault, and he did like a backflip in the cage, didn't he? One of his fights.
A guy on the ground, and he's done it twice that I've seen. That somebody will be on the ground and he'll do a backflip and try to land on him.
I think he's done it standing up too. I think I've saw it while the opponent's standing up also. If I ever see a knockout, somebody do a front flip or back flip and knock somebody out, I'll say I've seen it all.
So, Steve, when the dude was still standing, did he try to, like, do a back flip into a kick? Or was he trying to punch him?
I think when he did it, he did a back flip while the dude was still standing up. I don't even think he was taking it seriously if it would land, but you definitely see he tried to attempt it.
And what was he
trying?
Go ahead.
I think it was like a backflip bicycle kick. Like, he was kicking his legs as he was doing a backflip.
It was something weird. I can't remember, but I know it's something like that. Definitely.
Dude, the maniac, very unorthodox and not really translating to a lot of success as far as like in title contention. Because look, right, he's on the early prelims on this, but he's definitely entertaining, so I agree that will be on my radar. Mm-hmm. But let's move up into the prelims, which are going to be on ESPN, and the early prelims are going to be on ESPN. That's interesting. Usually that's on Fight Pass or ESPN Plus, but I guess they're billing this is a big one. In the bantamweight division, we have Pedro Munhoz versus Kyler Phillips. Lightweight division, we got Mateus Gamrot versus RDA. Rafael Dos Anjos. In the women's flyweight, we have the former Caitlin Kajian, now Caitlin Sermonara versus Macy Barber. And then to cap off the prelim card, we have in the heavyweight division, Curtis Blaydes versus Jalton Almeida. Man, I don't even know where to start because a lot of these fights intrigue me. I'll start with you, Admire.
They all do. I mean, this should have been the UFC 300 card. Like, almost every person on the prelims is a ranked fighter. I think RDA is just outside of the top 15, but I think Gamrot's ranked 6th in the lightweight. Pedro Munhoz, I think, is like number 13 in the bantamweight. Macy Barber's like number 6 in the women's flyweight. I'm just guessing Blaydes, he's got to be in top 5 or 10 of the heavyweight. I mean, this is a stacked prelim card.
Steve?
Yeah, definitely. And although Curtis Blaydes is number 5, I think Almeida brings the factor that we know he's a rising talent. And me personally, I think he's going to do well. So I think that's just going to add another factor to where it's, the top of the prelim is Jalton Almeida to bust in the top 5 for the heavyweight to make noise. And you got a previous champion, Rafael. Pedro Munhoz, his last, did he win his last fight, if I'm not mistaken? It feels like not too long ago he had it. Gamrot, he's been putting on good fights lately. That Rafael and Gamrot, that's going to be a good fight. So I think it's Macy Barber. She's uprising, woman flyweight. And I think people are looking for her to rise up. So, yeah, I think we have a lot of treats that we might compare to 300. Some of these fights can be moved around and substituted.
Yeah, and I stand corrected. RDA is ranked number 11 in the lightweight. So I think everybody that's fighting on the prelims is ranked. A lot of them in the top 10.
That's crazy. So I'm not going to make y'all do official picks because we don't do picks for the prelims, but I kind of want to get y'all's thoughts on how some of these fights play out. How do you think the Gamrot and the RDA fight plays out, Amir?
Oh, I got great Gamrot all the way.
You think RDA is kind of washed?
Yeah, I mean, he's not the same fighter that he was, you know, 8 years ago. RDA, I mean, his record, he's like 32 and 15 or something like that. He's just not the same guy. I don't even like RDA. It used to be you look forward to his fights, and I can't even tell you the last time I seen him fight. Let's just see what his last couple fights were. He lost to Luque, beat Barbarina, lost to Fiziv. So he's been alternating a lot of wins and losses.
Yeah, definitely a big one for him, and it's going to be on national TV. But how do you see this playing out, Steve?
Yeah, I'm definitely going for Gamrot because although I like Fiziv, if he would have never
Dos Anjos, you mean?
Yeah, Dos Anjos. If Dos Anjos would have beat Fiziv, then I would have probably would have said Gamrot would probably be a little bit of trouble. But I've seen deterioration in that fight. And from what I remember, Gamrot is a, sort of speak, matches your pace in a workhorse. That's what Fiziv did striking. I think Gamrot can do that. I think what was one of his fights to where he had amazing wrestling scrambles and didn't get tired. I can't remember. But anyways, I think Gamrot's going to pull through this easily, I think.
You think it's
going to happen? Yeah, Gamrot beat Jalen Turner.
Yeah, and you know how high he's been on our radar.
Yeah.
You know how he lost to Darius, but Darius was right there in the thick of things as far as title contention, even though he kind of had a slight skid. I think he's going to beat him, but don't be surprised if Dos Anjos gives him a tough time. I don't know if it's going to be a walk in the park, but I do have Gamrot winning this one, probably by decision. But let's go through a couple other of these prelim cards. How you think it'll play out? What about Caitlin Chookagian, former title contender? I forgot who she faced. I think she faced Valentina Shevchenko. She's facing Macy Barber. They call her the future, and I think this is a fighter that UFC has always been wanting to push, and it's always been high on their radar. But she had an injury one time, I think actually during the fight, and she hasn't really been able to break through. How do you see this one playing out, Amir?
I got Macy Barber on this one for sure. I think she's just on a roll right now. She's on a five-fight win streak. Her skills that she's shown in the octagon, I think they've been kind of setting her up and moving her up the line for a title shot. So I think this is probably going to warrant it, or at least warrant a contender, you know, fight after this.
Okay. I remember she did lose against Roxanne Modafferi. That was like an inexplicable hiccup that she had, and then she lost to Grasso, the champion, so you can't really blame her on that. But I feel like she kind of lost the juice after that. Like you said, she's went on a five-fight winning streak, but how do you see this playing out, Steve?
Yeah, I think from what I remember, her last fight, she was she must have did something to her boxing or stand-up skill, because it improved, if I remember.
You got Amanda Ribas out of there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I think I believe she was tearing her up, if I'm not mistaken, as far as lighting her up. If I remember Caitlin's fight, I think Macy might have enough skill from what I saw in her last fight to win this one.
Yeah, Cajun is in no slouch, though. I mean, she lost to Manon Farah, and she's right up there in title contention, and she only loses to high-level people. I guess you could argue that Jessica Eye is kind of mid-level, but Shevchenko, when she went for the title, and then Jessica Andrade, we know how much of a beast she is. She finished her, but besides that, she really doesn't, you know, let people rank under her, beat her like that. But I think this is the time for Macy Barber to show and prove it's now or never. So I have her winning as well. But another one, I don't think it's going to be easy. I think it's going to be probably like a unanimous decision if Macy is able to get the job done. But, you know, that's a coin toss on my end. But let's talk about this heavyweight fight next. This has a lot of implications as far as pecking order to the heavyweight division. Jalton Almeida is a guy that's been high on everybody's radar because he's a guy that's just good overall. He could do it on the ground. He could do it with the hands. And Blaze, we all know he's a wrestling specialist. I said this in the past. I think that'd be like the only person that gives John Jones a fit right now just because of the wrestling. But you never know what John Jones is going to do because you think he might wrestle and then he just strikes the whole time. But still, with his wrestling skills, I think he would be able to go toe-to-toe with John Jones. But I don't know how you see this one playing out, Admire.
Yeah, Almeida's his trajectory is up as well. I mean, I don't know, man. It's real. I don't know, man. I'm just trying to look through. I mean, Curtis Blaydes, he does have that wrestling factor, but they're close to the same size, you know. As far as height, they're the same size. Weight, I think Almeida, didn't he used to fight at 205?
If it was, it probably was not in the UFC. I want to say he's been always a heavyweight at UFC. Yeah, he's always.
Let me take a look here.
Okay, so he did fight light heavyweight in UFC. So you're right.
Yeah, I was gonna say I think he used to be at 205 for a little bit, but just I mean he's bit. on a really long win streak.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you know, he beat Derek Lewis. You know, Derek Lewis, he's been a contender for a while. He's also taken on, you know, Rosenstruck up there, beat him. I don't know, man. This is almost a toss-up because Blaydes has that wrestling that you talked about, but Almeida also has a great ground game and has a lot of submissions as well. I got to ride the hype of Almeida.
Okay. Steve, how you see this one playing out?
I say definitely Almeida just doing MMA math. Curtis Blaydes. He was very nervous of the threat with Derek Lewis. And I think that affected him, and he really couldn't take him down once they did clinch up. Almeida, I feel like he's not as big as Derek Lewis, but I think he has the muscle to throw, you know, opponent like Curtis Blaydes off. Because I think we see in our past fights with Almeida, he doesn't get tired. We've seen him getting tired in a fight for real yet. Amazing stamina, amazing endurance. I think Curtis Blaydes has more to worry about than Almeida. I really do.
Well, I'm glad we're not making official picks for this because I think I'm going to go against the grain. I think Blaydes is probably going to try to just wrestle him for three rounds and kind of, I want to say completely halt the Almeida hype train, but slow it down just a little bit. I mean, it's going to take a step back and then you have to rebuild a little bit, but you know, in the heavyweight division, two wins will get you right back in there. And it's not like Almeida is undefeated. He does have a couple losses, but those were a long, long time ago, back in 2018, you know, almost 6 years ago, and it wasn't in the UFC, you know, so he's improved. But I think Blaze will get back on track after getting TKO'd by Sergey. But let's finally get into this main card, fellas. Before we get into that, our record going into this, after the UFC 298 predictions, Admire's still on top. He's 7-3 on the year. And me and Steve are both 5-5. So I kind of caught up after last card. So see if I can catch up.
What am I?
7-3.
Ooh.
And me and Steve are both 5-5. So I got to get over 500 with this card. But the curtain jerker for this one, former champion Petr Yan in the bantamweight division going up against Song Yang Dong. It should be an interesting one. I'll let you kick this off, Amir. Who you got?
Man, I used to think Petr Yan was like the boogeyman. Like, he was a lot better back in the day. He's on a 3-fight losing streak now.
Yeah.
But I mean, he went on a crazy run where he, you know.
You got to preface it by this. All 3-fight losing streaks aren't built the same. And look who he lost to, though. Very high level guys. You have Sterling in there. And who else was in that 3-fight losing streak?
Davishili and O'Malley.
Yep. So Morale's probably going to be a champion and former champion and a current champion. So he wasn't out there losing against bums. And those fights were close too.
Yeah. And I mean, Song Yadong, he's a good fighter, but I got to take Yan on this one all the way.
Okay. Steve?
Yeah, I think Yadong had some trouble. Was it? He lost not too long ago. Did he? And
yeah.
And I think it was to a stand-up fighter too. Going back.
Yeah, Corey Sandhagen.
Yeah. And Petr Yan ain't no joke. Plus he has the I can't remember if he so much used it, but I think he can get with it on the ground too if he has to. But I see Song Yadong, I think he's more boxing oriented. And I see Petr Yan, he be throwing those Tekken combinations. I think Petr Yan has more of an option as far as striking where I think the fight's gonna go anyway. So Petr Yan, I think.
Okay. This one, I don't know what the betting line for this one, but this one seems like a toss-up. Cause like you said, he lost to Sandhagen, but after that, he reeled off two more wins against Simone and Chris Gutierrez.
The odds on this, it's a pick'em on this fight. Yan at a -115 and Yadong at a -105, so it's pretty much a pick'em.
That's what I thought. I think Yan has to stop the bleeding somewhere. I think he gets back on the win train or else. I don't think he'll get cut, but wouldn't be a good trajectory for his career if he loses this one. So I'm going to go with Yan, but I am not confident with this pick. I can see it going the other way. Let's talk about this next fight, though, in the welterweight division. Gilbert Burns versus Jack Della Maddalena, who's a guy that UFC is high on, welterweight division. What do you think about this one, Admire?
This one I'm torn on because I love Gilbert Burns. He put it on Chimaev for a while during that fight. I mean, I think he's done the best out of everybody against Chimaev. But then, you know, this name, Jack Maddalena, you don't hear about him a lot, but he's on a 14-fight win streak, I think. 16 fight win streak. He's beat Kevin Holland, but he doesn't have a lot of other high names. As far as odds on this fight, though, the odds say Madalena -160, Gilbert Burns +135. Mm-hmm. I got to take the underdog. Give me Gilbert Burns.
Okay. Steve?
Yeah, I would say Gilbert Burns because only weakness I've seen him have for real in welterweight is when he faced Kamaru Usman. But everything he seems like he expertises. And remember, he fought Thompson and everybody. Thompson gives everybody's problem and, you know, seemed like Gilbert knew him like a book, you know, like a veteran. I think he is going to win this fight. Although only significant fights he's had, which is impressive, is Holland and Randy Brown. But other than that, we've seen Gilbert Burns do amazing things, so I have to go with Gilbert Burns.
Yeah, I think it's kind of hard. Well, it's kind of not so hard. I mean, it's kind of easy to count Gilbert Burns out because he has those losses in there. But if you go back and look at him, they're all against high level people. Usman, of course. I mean, that seems like so long ago. That was 2021, and then Chimaev. He gave Chimaev fits in that fight.
Yeah.
And then Bilal Muhammad seems like he's been beating everybody he faces. Muhammad, but I don't know, man. This is one that's hard to pick, too. I'm going to pick Madalena just because I'm trying to catch up with the picks, but I'm not confident in it. So I'm going to go with Jack Della Madalena. This is definitely a step up in competition, and I'm not really confident that he can win, but. No, I still gonna go up there and take the risk and pick him. And let's go to this next fight. Also in the welterweight division, a fighter that I think both of these guys faced this guy, Kevin Holland. I don't know if Gilbert Burns faced Kevin Holland, but Jack Madalena actually faced him. But I digress. Kevin Holland versus a debuting Michael Venom Page, and I think this is a fight that has been on our radar. We've definitely been looking for Michael Page to make that jump to UFC for the longest. So, Admire, how do we think this one plays out?
I think MVP has to make a big showing, being his first fight in the UFC. But Kevin Holland, man, I think he's only lost one by knockout. So it's going to be a decision fight. I think MVP's unorthodox striking is what's going to get him the win. Odds on this one, they have Holland at -130, MVP at a +110. I think MVP's last actual fight was bare knuckle, maybe. Let me see. No, he did fight in Bellator after his bare knuckle. He won by TKO leg kick. So, I mean, dangerous kicks as well. I think MVP has something to prove. I think his striking is better than Holland's. Give me MVP for the decision.
Steve?
This one's hard to pick because depending on Michael Venom Page, and I don't know how he looked at Bellator until he, you know, got his loss into finally good competition. Is he going to do that playing around with these fighters like Kevin Holland, take it seriously? I say if he takes it seriously, I think it's a very formidable match for both fighters. I would have to go with let me go with Venom Page.
See, the unknown, I don't know if either one of you know this. I don't think I've ever seen somebody take MVP down, really. And, I mean, I know Holland's good on the ground. I don't know how that might play out. If, you know, this is a step up of competition for MVP to go get somebody like Haaland. So I don't that variable's in my mind, but
It seems like Kevin Haaland is so much his level to start off, though. That's why it's so hard to measure, is like, you know, if he's good enough UFC caliber, you know, because it seems like it would, you know, it's a good enough matchup for him, you know. I would have, you know, it's his choice, but I would have thrown him a little higher caliber of a fighter, because I think anybody can get caught with this type of matchup.
So I want you to dive in a little bit deeper of why you think MVP is going to get it, Steve.
I think of part of what Admire says, what he, the taking down rarely, although it's a step up, you know, it's kind of not hard to test that with Kevin Haaland. I don't think he too much takes people down. Saying that, man, Kevin Haaland, for real, he has a good chin itself, though, but I think Michael Venom Page has more of an elusive arsenal as far as striking to sneak something in. As far as Michael Venom Page might see something linear, Kevin Haaland is throwing.
Man. So with this one, you expect that there to be fireworks with both of these styles. MVP, we all know, is unorthodox, and Kevin Haaland is unorthodox to an extent. So I think this fight ain't going to play out like how people think it is going to be. I think it's going to be a bullshit, tactical, like either one is scared to pull a trigger kind of fight for some reason. I may be wrong. I hope I'm wrong, because we both know what these guys have. But I think, you know, they might cancel each other out. They're both long, lanky fighters. And it may end up being a snooze fest. Like I said, I hope I'm wrong. Kevin Haaland seems like he plays to the level of his competition some of the time. And he has the tools where he could probably starch most people that he stands up with. But for some reason, it doesn't play like out like that all the time. You know, and in UFC, the competition is high. But I don't know. I guess I'll go with MVP too, with the decision to get the job done, but I don't know how this is going to play out. But I guess once this fight happens, we'll talk about the fallout and where MVP goes after this. That'll be for the post show. But let's get into this co-main event, fellas. In the lightweight division, this is a fight for the hardcores. Dustin Poirier versus Benoit St. Denis. Admire, kick this one off.
Man, Poirier always surprises me. I always count him out, and he always does good. But Benoit St. Denis, I don't know if you know about his background, but he's like a special forces guy. He's only lost one fight his whole MMA career. The odds are St. Denis -230, Poirier +190. I think Poirier is the second biggest underdog on this card. I think St. Denis is a guy that we're going to see for a while, moving up the ranks even more. I think he probably gets a contender fight if he wins this. You know, Poirier's always hung around the top as well. I gotta take St. Denis.
Admire with Benoit St. Denis. Steve?
Looking at it, we know Poirier's high caliber, but feels like not too long ago you just got that knockout from Gaethje. And this guy's fresh, doesn't have these previous knockouts or seems like wear and tear from his last fight. Has 9 submissions. Has somewhat can knock you out of a threat, 4 knockouts.
And no decisions.
And no decisions. Seven first round finishes. I think this is an introduction of probably to see how tough Benoit is. I'm going to go against the grain of what stardom Poirier has and go with Benoit St. Denis.
Man, that buyer is making it hard for me to catch up because this fight could go either way. What's the line on this looking like, Admire?
The line on this is St. Denis minus 230, Poirier plus 190. And, I mean, if it matters, it helps you make a decision. Poirier is ranked number 3, I believe, and St. Denis is ranked number 12. So this is a big step up in competition.
That's not going to make me change my pick, even though it's Poirier is the underdog, surprisingly. So Vegas always usually knows a little more than what we know. But I was going to go with St. Denis, even if he was the underdog, just because he's on a roll. And I think I said this on the show where we talked about his last fight. Like, he just looks like he has all the tools there. And, you know, when you catch that spark and you're on a roll, you just have it. And sometimes it's just your time. And we all are Poirier fans, and, you know, fighting has a shelf life, and maybe he hit the peak of it during his title shots, and he won the interim belt for a little bit, but could never get over that hump, and maybe he's missed that boat. You never know in this game. Because some fighters have like a second win, but no, I think Denis keeps the ball rolling and gets the win on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. So all three of us got St. Denis, so he better not make us look stupid. Let's talk about the fight that everybody came for. Admire's guy, Sugar Sean O'Malley, defending his bantamweight title versus Marlon Chito Vera. And since this is your guy, Admire, I'll let you kick this one off again.
Man, the last time that we did a show on a Sean O'Malley fight, I picked against him. The fight before that, I've always picked against Sean O'Malley. And I remember explicitly the last time he fought, I picked against him. And I said, if he wins and beats Sterling, I will never bet against him again. In my heart of hearts, I believe Chito Vera gets the win, but I'm a man of my word. I am taking Sean O'Malley.
And before we get into your pick, Steve, even though that you said you wouldn't pick against them, I need a little bit of X's and O's. Why you think O'Malley's going to win, though?
I don't think O'Malley's going to win, but I got to pick him just because I said it. I mean, I think O'Malley is the fresher, younger fighter. He's got a lot of hype behind him. You know, I used to think it was unwarranted hype, but if you look at just kind of the things that he's done, you know, with Sterling, you know, Sterling, we talked about him, I think, two shows ago. He could possibly be the bantamweight GOAT, you know, just because of, you know, there hasn't been a lot of longevity to the title holders in that recently. And Sean O'Malley is that person now. So, I mean, Sean O'Malley's kind of – he's got the hype. Chito has been around fighting 10 years, I believe, in the UFC. He's got a lot of miles on him. He's got some losses on there that kind of, you know, you would question and say, should this guy – is he championship caliber? He lost two fights ago to Corey Sandhagen. He has lost to Jose Aldo, which you can't hold that against him, but he's also lost to Song Yadong. Now I've talked myself into it. O'Malley, I think he's going to win too.
Vera or O'Malley?
O'Malley. I'm sticking with O'Malley. I said Vera's going to win, but I stuck by my word. I was going to pick O'Malley. But now I really think O'Malley's going to win. So I'm extra sure. If you want some odds behind this fight, we got O'Malley at a minus 280 favorite against Vera at a plus 230. So even Vegas says O'Malley is the winner.
It's on you, Steve.
So I wish it a little more, or who knows if he came in with an injury in the first fight. A little more telling of the first fight to see what how much would it was go. I don't think we got enough to see. See how if it was a and although that fight was a while ago, they both improved. Chito has some good wins. It just to me, Chito seems durable to me, and I think he's may pull through for that, and I'm more leaning towards Chito. Although O'Malley's been working on his accuracy with his striking, obviously we've seen that. That was a crisp straight that he took Sterling out with. I just haven't seen enough O'Malley. Peter Yan, he's got him out there. Got Sterling out there. Pretty good. I think Chito might pull through with this. I really do.
Is that gonna be your official? Is that your official pick?
Yeah, Chito Vera.
So you think he's gonna outstrike him?
Oh, like I said, O'Malley's striking looking good, but I think he might pull something sneaky through. Like, who knows? He caught Dominic Cruz off guard.
Okay. When they fought the first time, did O'Malley injure himself in that fight? I know
he blew out his knee in that first round. It ended late in the first round. I think O'Malley blew out his knee or something. Something happened to his leg. Rolled his ankle, blew out his knee. Tore a muscle, something, and he had no movement.
From what I saw, he pump fake like basketball, and that's where you saw the first signs in the fight. So we're like, whoa, what the hell was that? And then he did it again, and then that's where it was very evident. So I significantly remember that. It like I said, it was early in the fight to where you couldn't see enough in skill level to see who is getting more of others. They're like still filling each other out.
And that was like the second time that happened. Wasn't that a fight where he got injured? The dude was dumb and didn't wrestle him. He could have easily won it if he would have tried to take him down, but he didn't.
That's one of the
winning the fight.
One of the upcoming shows I think he was on. I think it happened. What was it?
I don't think it was a contender series fight.
No, it was Dana White's looking for a fight.
It was?
Yeah.
I could have swore that. I thought it was like one of his first fights on actual UFC card.
It could have been. But I remember he had to dude was trying to get him down by the fence, and he had to lift his leg up. It was bad. Dude took him down. And I guess he must not have known that he had some points on the card previous rounds to not keep him standing up to have a referee stoppage. So, but he got lucky and got through that one.
So I think, was it the Andre took him a lap? I'm probably butchering his name. I think it might've been that fight. I might be mistaken. The UFC 222. Man, I could easily find out which fight that was. Yep, that was that fight, the UFC 222 fight against the Andre. Yeah, so, and then I don't know if he's injury prone or it was two flukes, but that did happen to him. But with that being said, I think Sean O'Malley is confident in feeling himself, man. And we don't know Vera for being like a wrestler like that. I think O'Malley may finish this guy. I don't know what round. I'll say in the middle round, third round. He was going to get this guy out of here. And it's going to be a celebration down in Miami. Who knows how that goes? But O'Malley's lifestyle. But yeah, I got O'Malley getting the job done on the feet.
I think my thing against O'Malley is just he was fast tracked to the belt. I think he's only fought two top 10 guys.
I mean, you could say that with Connor too, kind of.
Yeah. I've always thought that about Connor, but you know, O'Malley's beat Sterling and Peter Yan. And other than that, I'm pretty sure that there's nobody in the top 10 that he's fought. And I think that's the thing. Like Dev Chili, maybe Cejudo could give him problems. Figueiredo, I think, would give him problems. So, I mean, but I've always talked shit on him, and he's always won. So, it's maybe I'm wrong.
You know, another guy who's fast-tracked to the title, a guy named John Bones Jones. He fought Ryan Bader before that. He didn't really fight anybody and got a title shot after that Ryan Bader fight. So, either you're going to sink or swim. Sometimes you do get fast-tracked, but it's up to you to show and prove. So we're going to find out soon if O'Malley is going to sink or if he's going to swim.
I think this is the fight that decides if he's going to be there a while.
I kind of disagree because I kind of think he's going to have problems with Marab. I think he gets past this. And of course, we'll predict it if they do make that fight. But I don't know. This fight may be fool's gold. I think he might have, I wouldn't say Vera's number because he lost last time, but this is a favorable fight to the style. Because what is Vera rank, Admire?
Number
three. Three or four, right?
I think five.
Yeah, five.
So as far as ranking, I feel like this is kind of a softball because the story behind it. That how the last fight fought, and it's kind of a grudge match, so it kind of threw him a layup. Might be wrong because Vera beat him once, he could beat him again, but I don't know. Definitely gonna be interesting to see how that shakes out, but that'll take us to the end of the show. Big card this weekend, I'm excited to watch it. No, where I'm gonna watch it at, but I'll figure that out. And also this weekend, we have Francis Ngannou facing Anthony Joshua in boxing. We got to cover that in some capacity. I don't know how I'm going to have that shakeout, but be on the lookout on social media. We'll figure out how we'll cover that. But that'll do it for us here at Haymaker Combat Sports. Be on the lookout for when we review this next week. But until next time, be safe out there. Later.
Hit the takedown, ground and pound. That was from the top. Heel hooking, no more plot. I leave you in the nine. Pound for pound, been the greatest. Sitting on the top, man. I'm laughing.